Our Lord and our God, as we come today and talk about you and one of your great characteristics, we ask that you help us to grab hold of that each and every day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We're in the second week on a series on prayer. And when most people hear the word prayer, a lot of them get a little uptight. Some people feel guilty because they don't pray enough, or they feel they don't pray enough because they don't have enough faith, or God doesn't. I mean, there's just lots of questions that come around prayer and insecurity about prayer. And if that's sort of where you are, then hopefully today's words will help encourage you, because we're going to look at just one aspect, one characteristic of God. We're going to talk about one truth, and it's a truth or it's a conviction that the people that I've known that have deep, powerful prayer lives, they hold on to this conviction. On the other side of that is people that don't hold on to this conviction, people that don't sort of live into this promise, this truth, they continually struggle with their prayer life. It's kind of one of those, you either have it or you don't kinds of things. The Apostle Paul had this conviction in spades. Maybe that explains why he was so confident, why he was so content, why he was so at peace, regardless of the situations in which he found himself. It's a conviction that is found in the text that you heard just a moment ago. And it comes in that one phrase, "Now to him who is able." And the truth, the characteristic is this, that our God is able. Able to do what? Well, he's able to do whatever he wants to do. There is no problem that causes him to stop short of what he wants to do. There is no situation that makes him confused. There's no circumstance that causes him to stay up at night and worry. Our God is able. Now, it's important for us to understand the context. These words that Paul writes in Ephesians, when he's writing them, he's not writing them from a 4 or 5 star resort. He's writing them from a prison cell in Rome, and he's waiting to die. And yet Paul is able to say these amazing things. It's a prayer that he has for the Ephesians, but he's living it out. He's not just talking the walk, he's walking the walk. So what Paul is doing, and it really doesn't matter to Paul because he has this conviction, it doesn't matter to Paul whether he's in a jailhouse or a penthouse, he knows that his God is able to do whatever needs to be done. One of my favorite stories that sort of illustrates this idea, this truth that God is able, comes from a movie that I saw with my kids many years ago when they were small. It's a movie called The Bear. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you saw it with your children. It's a story about a little bear cub whose mother dies by accident. Now, you know, if you've watched any television at all, the Animal Channel, you know that babies, animals, without some kind of protection, become dinner for predators. So you have this incredibly cute little bear cub on his own in the wild. And there's a mountain lion that would love to have him for dinner. But amazingly, this little cub becomes adopted by this ginormous Kodiak bear. And so this little cub grows up under the protective care and nurturing of this Papa Bear. Papa Bear teaches him how to hunt, how to fish, how to look for insects, how to scratch his back on trees. He teaches him everything he needs to know about living life as a bear. But one day, the Papa Bear and the little baby cub get separated. And the mountain lion, who's been following this bear cub, sees his opportunity. And so he comes up face to face with the cub. And it's one of those situations where you go, I think I'm going to change the channel. Because you know what's going to happen. The camera focuses in first on the little cub. And the little cub is scared to death and he doesn't know what to do. So he does the only thing that he knows by instinct and what he's been taught, I guess, maybe by his papa bear. He gets up on his hind legs. He puts his hands, paws in the air. He makes himself as big as possible. And then he lets out this tremendous little squeak. Because he's only this big. The camera pans back to the mountain lion. And the mountain lion first is, with his eyes, you can tell that he's looking forward to this opportunity. But then in a second, what you see in his eyes changes from confidence to fear. And he turns and runs away. And the camera pulls back and you get to see what the cub didn't see, but what the lion saw. And that is behind the cub about 6 feet is the papa bear, the huge Kodiak bear standing on his back feet with his paws in the air. And he lets out a roar that lets everybody know who's in charge of this cub. You know, the cub didn't really know that his father was behind him, that his father was protecting him. The cub wasn't able to see him. And so maybe he thought he had to do it all himself. But the point of the illustration is that just like the Kodiak bear stood behind his cub, our God is able. And even though we can't see him, we can't physically touch him, he is always present, he always protects, and he always loves us and cares for us and nurtures us. What do I need to know about God in order to make my prayer life powerful and constant? You remember last week, I had you memorize that verse. What was the verse? Pray constantly. Thank you very much. I knew you'd remember it. You just needed a little push there. I knew you'd get it. Pray constantly. It's a very difficult verse to remember. But the basis of what we need to know in order to pray to God is found in this verse. Let's say this together. I really do want you to say this all together with me, okay? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory. What Paul is saying to these people is that, you know, at some point you are going to underestimate God. You're going to make God much smaller than he really is. Partly because of our own sin in our life that makes us more aware of ourselves and less about God. But the other part is that our society, our culture, pushes you to make your God smaller than them. Smaller than the world in which you live. But Paul is trying to make sure that these people that he's writing to, that they understand clearly this one characteristic about God. So let's sort of unpack this verse a little bit. Paul begins by saying that our God is able to do. He's able to work. In other words, the God that we know isn't just a cosmic bystander, but he's actively involved in creation and in our lives. But he's not just involved. Paul says he's willing to do what we ask. The Bible says that sometimes we don't get what we want because we don't ask. Paul says, our God will do what we ask. But there's more. He says that our God is not only able to do what we ask, some of the time, maybe, occasionally, he says he's willing to do what we ask. And more. More than we can ask. More than we can imagine. But there's something still more than, greater than that. And that this God that we worship, he's not only just able to be involved in our life, he's not only just able to do what we ask and more than what we ask, but immeasurably more than what we can ask. It's like Paul's taking a 2x4 and hitting people over the head with this one truth, that God, our God, is able to do anything. But here's the truth, here's the principle. You will not pray very much, and I will not pray very much if we don't believe in our deepest part of our soul that our God is able.
If you don't think God is able, if you don't think He's going to listen to you, if you don't think He has the time for you, you will not pray very much. If you're not convinced that His power can be used and harnessed for your good, you won't pray very much. But here's the thing. In order to really grab hold of this concept that God is able, you have to first know something about the God that you're praying to. Because most of us don't put any confidence in people that we do not know. So with the remainder of the time, I want to talk about some of God's attributes, some of the things that He is able to do and has done. What is it that Scripture tells us He's able to do? The first thing Scripture tells us He's able to do is create. Talks about Genesis, that God created the world. You want to know that science doesn't contradict the Bible when it comes to creation, per se? Everything that's created has to have a cause, including the universe. And it's interesting, when you listen to the atheistic physicists and astronomers talk, people like Hawking, you know, they say, well, we don't really know where all of this started. It just sort of started by chance. And you scratch your head and you go, you know, chance isn't a very scientific term. Well, I know where it started. It started from God. God is the one that created the universe. You can explain the rest of it away by science, but we all know who was the original creator. So God is the one that created the universe. And because He created the universe, the second thing that He's able to do is He has complete control over the laws of nature and over the laws of physics and over the laws of gravity. And so He is able to part a body of water so that people can walk through it on dry ground, as the people of Israel did. He's able to calm a storm by just saying a couple of words, "Peace, be still." That's the kind of power that our God has. He is Lord over time. In the Old Testament, Joshua needed some more time in order to engage the enemy in order to win the battle, and God extended the day. Who needs more time in their day? Our God's able to do that. Our God is able to withhold rain in order to bring drought. He's also able to open the floodgates and produce a flood if He wants. He's able to create a rainbow, symbolic of the symbol that He will never flood the earth again. He's able to take His hands, and just by the touch of His hands, He's able to make people that have been blind since birth be able to see. He's been able to take and just speak. No magic, no medicine, just speak. And somebody who's been crippled for life, get up and walk. He's been able to just say a few words, and somebody who's been dead for days can come up out of the grave and walk again. Our God is able. He's able also to bring deliverance from impossible situations. Some of you are facing situations that you think are impossible. You've exhausted all of your wisdom trying to solve the riddle, trying to reconcile the relationship. Our God is able to bring deliverance from impossible situations. He was able to deliver Daniel when he was surrounded by lions. He was able to deliver Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from a furnace that was thousands of degrees. He was able to deliver Joseph from the prisons of Pharaoh. He was able to deliver David from the threats of death from King Saul. He was able to deliver Paul from the Philippian jail. Our God is able. Does anybody here need that kind of power in their life? Our God's also able to provide. He was able to provide for some estimates, several hundred thousand to 2 or 3 million people while they were wandering in the wilderness. 40 years He provided food for these people. That is a whale of a catering service. 40 years He provided food, miraculously, for people. He brought water out of a rock. He fed Elijah, the prophet Elijah, by using a raven when Elijah was scared and running for his life and hiding from Jezebel. He was able to take two loaves and some fish and feed over 5,000 people. Our God is able to provide if you need it. But not only is he able to provide, he's also able to change the hearts of men and women. He took the hard heart of Pharaoh and softened it so that the people of Israel could leave. He took the frightened, scared heart of Gideon and allowed Gideon to take 300 men, 300 regular common people, not soldiers, just regular guys, and go into battle against thousands and thousands of soldiers of Midian and win. Our God is able to forgive sin. Think about this for a moment. Have you ever been driving down the highway and all of a sudden you see some blue lights in your rearview mirror and you just know that those blue lights are for you? You ever had that experience? Me neither. Just hypothetically though. You know how bad you feel? You know how sort of guilty and how filled with shame you feel because you've broken the law and you've actually gotten caught doing it? And what's worse is you got the Jesus bumper sticker and the fish sign on the back of your car. You know the blue lights that you can see from Mars, I think? Everybody knows that you're there. Well, think about how embarrassed and how guilty you feel over a speeding ticket. And then compare that to what it would be like to stand before a holy, holy God and have nobody to speak up for you. But our God, through what Jesus Christ has done for us in his death and his resurrection, our God, Jesus Christ, has given us the privilege to be able to go to God and ask for forgiveness for all of the stuff that we've messed up in our lives. And God gives it to us. You know, other people can forgive you for stuff that you've done, and you can forgive other people for the mistakes they've done, but only God can forgive you for the stuff that you've done against him. Our God is able to do that. It's just one of those amazing things that, and Paul talks about that in this prayer. He says, this God that is omniscient, omnipotent, this God that has created the universe can become small enough to be in your heart, to live inside of you, so that he can hear your heartbeat, he can celebrate with your joys, and he can also feel your pain. And the result of him living inside of you is that now, through the power of his Holy Spirit working in you, you now have the power to be able to overcome the challenges of life that you face every single day. But that only happens. All of this only happens when you really grab on to the reality that your God is able to do whatever and more and immeasurably more than what you can ask or possibly think. Because if you don't have that, you have a faith like Pee Wee Herman instead of a faith like Paul. That's what it's about. So here's the question. What is it in your life that you want God's help with? Where is it that you need to know that God is able in your life? I want you to commit yourself to praying about that and for that for the next 30 days. Are you willing to do that? And then while you're praying for yourself and what you and where you need God to see to work in your life, think about the people around you and think about the things that they need God to do in their life. What are the situations? What are the circumstances? What are the things that are challenging and troubling them? And pray for them as you pray for yourself. Our God is able. And to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks that you are a God that is able. We don't say that lightly. And forgive us when we don't take it seriously. But Lord, we pray that in the coming week and in the month ahead, you give us that strong conviction to be able to come to you with anything and everything. And may your power and your grace be revealed in us and in our lives. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.